140 miles north of London is Bentwaters, England. In December of 1980, a United States Air Force base armed with nuclear weapons was reportedly the site of a series of UFO encounters over a three-day period.
There's no doubt about it. There's some type of strange flash red light ahead.
It's yellow.
I saw a yellow tinge in it, too. Weird. It appears that he may be moving a little bit this way. Yes, it's brighter than it has been.
Yellow?
It's coming this way. It is definitely coming this way.
Airman First Class Edward Cabanzag was one of the security officers present.
That night, we were on Security One, which was in charge of mobile security for the Woodbridge base, and we responded to Jim Burrows' sighting of something out on the edge of the flight line.
Well, the controller on the radio broadcast over the air that go down and check out a possible UFO.
It was a bunch of security officers responsible for the security of nuclear weapons during the Cold War. So these aren't just some fuzzy-headed, touchy-feely military guys. I mean, they're very serious people. You have three guys approach this craft. One guy gets too scared. Cabanzag decides to stay between the craft and the base and act like a relay with the radios, because there was a lot of radio interference. And then the two guys go out to the craft, and the whole perception of time was slightly altered. And, it was a very ethereal, sort of surreal experience for both of them.
At that point in time, three of us had direct observation of the craft.
The closer we would get to it, we would lose communication, with Central Security Control.
It was shaped kind of like almost like a pyramid kind of shaped, just completely silent. It was warm to the touch, he said. And then, of course, he describes the symbols that were on the side of the craft. He inspected the craft, and he was there to do it. And I told him, I said, that was very brave of you to walk up to this thing and touch it. And my job was to determine whether or not it posed a threat to our base. And
it was, it measured probably about 9 feet long, maybe 6 feet high, a little higher, maybe 6.5 feet.
This was a up-close and personal encounter with a landed UFO. And with symbols on the craft, and I interviewed all the eyewitnesses, but listening to him do an on-the-ground investigation for 45 minutes with his logbook, which he still has to this day, the symbols on the craft and describing how the craft lifted back off, maneuvered through the trees, and shot off at a high rate of speed, and cooperated from the deputy base commander, who's a colonel, and the two other men that were with him that night, that is one of the most compelling UFO stories I've ever heard. Because he touched it. It's not like he saw it or photographed it or heard about it. He actually touched it.
On March 16th, 1967, Lieutenant Colonel Salas was on duty when he was contacted by his topside guard, stating that there was an unidentified object above the missile site. Salas ordered the guard to observe and report back on any further development.
Then he called back within a few minutes and was very frightened. I could tell by his voice he was extremely agitated. He said there was an object hovering outside the front gate, a reddish-orange, oval-shaped object.
Well, there seems to be a pattern of interest in our military capabilities, nuclear capabilities. There have been a number of cases that we put forward and out of the blue where, like Malmstrom Air Force Base, where a UFO is spotted at the same time their Minuteman missiles go into a no-go situation to shut them down categorically one after the other.
Our missiles went into no-go condition, one after the other. Well, we lost nearly 20 missiles that morning.
So whatever is going on, it appears to have an interest. They appear to have an interest in our nuclear capabilities. And I always use the analogy, perhaps it's like someone taking the matches out of the hands of a baby or something. But that seems to be a pattern that's happened.
Team on is 15 seconds and counting. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2.
All right, there it goes.
In 1965, Gordon Cooper was the last American astronaut to go up into space alone.
What they think on it. Now, the action that I have taken is to turn off my O5G switch gears and my...
He orbited the planet 22 times.
When I interviewed Gordon Cooper, I actually took my father with me, Charles Fox, who's a mainstream journalist. He's written for every publication on the... And he was always very reluctant. And one of the things he said to me was that I got involved with my son's interest in UFOs with a very distinct sense of paternal obligation. In other words, you know, initially he was thinking, oh God, I can't believe James is getting involved with this. And one of the turning points for him as a mainstream journalist and knowing Gordon Cooper as an American icon and a hero, was sitting down in that interview and listening to him talk about, you know, what his experience with UFOs.
He was supervising the filming of a precision landing facility for F-86 fighter jets. Suddenly, a saucer-like craft flew directly over the cameraman. Three landing gear apparatus opened, and the object landed on the dry lake bed.
They're just typical saucer shape, double lenticular shape, metallic. And they went out, picked up their cameras, and moved on out toward him filming. And he lifted off, put the gear back in the well, and climbed out at a very high rate of speed and disappeared.
Cooper himself saw the footage, had the footage developed, saw the footage, held it up to the light, and said it was frame by frame. It was perfectly clear, you know, in focus footage of a flying saucer sitting on the dry lake bed. Had a courier jet fly in from Washington, take the footage, off to Washington, D.C., never heard of, seen from ever again. That was it. And I asked him in the film, did you ever follow up with what happened to that footage that you handed over? And it triggered, it hit a raw nerve with him because he was always kind of composed and quiet, and he kind of fired back at me. You know, he said, "What am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to follow up on this? You know, you follow orders in the military, and unless you have a direct connection with the, you know, there's nothing you can do." So,
did you ever keep in touch with anybody about it or discuss that?
How would I keep in touch with anybody about it? There's no way within the military or within the government of keeping track of something that is classified unless you're directly involved in it, and I was not.
Well, I mean, this is speculation on my part as to why any government would cover this information up, and I'll reiterate speculation. But I would imagine if there were structured craft of unknown origin that could penetrate very sensitive airspace and fly rings around our fastest jets with impunity, that no military, who we pay them to protect us, would ever want to relinquish that type of information to the general public. I mean, you know, can you imagine them making that statement? Hey, there's these structured craft. We don't know where they come from. We have no control over them. They fly around in our secret and private airspace with impunity, and thank you and good night. I mean, I can't imagine why they would disclose that type of information.
There is a serious possibility that we are being visited and have been visited for many years by people from outer space, from other civilizations.
Since the subject is clearly of great interest to the public, I think that the scientific community owes it to the public to really pay attention to the subject and make a thorough, extensive, and careful investigation.
A story this big, there's no way it could be kept secret from the public. What do you say to someone like that says that?
Well, somebody's kept it pretty secret for quite a while, haven't you?
It's a very significant story, and it's a difficult story to walk away from. You know, once you're involved with it as much as I've been or you are now, it's like you recognize some truth. You speak hypothetically to people, and they all say to you categorically, wow, it would be the greatest discovery of our time. And yet, they're not willing to look at the evidence to realize that this is actually going on and this information is being kept from us. And that, you know, it, quite honestly, it pissed me off. You know, and that's what's been a driving force behind me is that I don't think it's fair that information is kept for a select few and not shared with the world.
The discovery that we are being visited by extraterrestrials would be one of the greatest in human history. Such a discovery would profoundly alter the perception of ourselves and our place in the universe.